Welcome into You're the Cure right here on AM 580 with Dr. Ben Edwards, MD, brought to you by Veritas Medical. Check out the website, veritasmedical.com. Past archived programs, all available there at the website, veritasmedical.com. Let me say good morning once again to Dr. Ben Edwards. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Wade.
Good to see you back.
Good to see you.
I am so looking forward to our health cruise coming up in August, by the way, so we still have some space available. A lot of people have signed up for this, by the way, but if you'd like to come go with us, contact Envoy Travel today, 798-9000. We're going to have that seven-day health cruise out of Seattle round trip. It's going to be a lot of fun. Ports of call, Ketchikan, Dawes Glacier, Juneau, Skagway, Victoria, Canada. I'm going as well. It's going to be a lot of fun. Envoy Travel, 798-9000. Contact them today if you'd like to come go with us. We still got some space available left that we can talk about or go through about. I think March will be the final cutoff on this deal, but there's still, if you want to go, because we still every once in a while have someone call, hey, is that cruise still available? It is. And we will do some health seminars at sea and all that kind of stuff. That'll be a lot of fun. Anyway, so we got lots to get into today on the program. What do you want to talk about, Dr. Edwards?
Well, we're going to do a little bit of a unique show today. Going to talk about supplements. I get quite a few questions about that.
Okay.
You know, do I really need to take them? Am I just making expensive urine? You know, is what they say in there really in there? How are they regulated? I mean, all kinds of stuff. And of course, I think most people know my stance on supplements is you cannot supplement your way to health. True health, full health, like I'm so healthy, I'm symptom-free and don't need a doctor, which is the kind of health we're trying to get people to. You can alleviate a lot of symptoms with various supplements, and we'll talk some about that today, and the difference between a symptom management supplement and a foundational supplemental nutrient. So we've talked at great length on previous shows about how our food supply is just totally devoid and depleted of so many nutrients, anywhere from 20% all the way up to 80 and 90% reduction of certain vitamins and minerals, copper and magnesium in particular. We've shown studies and talked about data with 81% depletion of copper in the food. And this was studies comparing 1950 crops to 1997 crops, basically. So I'm sure the depletion's even more here in 2020. And honestly, it's our farming techniques. We've also talked about that at great length, and I was so excited. There was a great no-till conference this past week here in Lubbock, and we'll get Chad Wall on the show soon to talk about that. I know that John Kemp from Advancing Eco Ag was here giving just amazing talks. I heard lots of great feedback. And it's all about building the soil. You've got to build the soil, and you've got to build the biology or the life into the soil. It's the bacteria in the soil that work on the rocks and stones and pebbles and the dirt and get the minerals out of that inorganic state and into a water-soluble organic state that the plant root can take up and put into the leaf and the fruit and the berries and whatever, vegetables. So if you kill the biology in the soil, the bacteria in the soil, the fungi in the soil, you're really going to diminish the ability of that plant to be fully mineralized. And that's just one aspect of it. Of course, the nail in the coffin, like we've talked about with Stephanie Seneff and others, is glyphosate, the main ingredient in Roundup. It's a chelator. Chelation, or the word chelate in the Greek, is to claw, to grab, and to not let go. And so when you put a chelator on your land, on your crops, it's going to really devastate the bioavailability of any minerals that are left. So our food's just depleted. You know, there was a podcast. It was actually John Kemp's podcast I was listening to the other day. He had an engineer on the show. The engineer developed a little device, sounded kind of like an iPhone app, but basically it could scan the produce, and it could tell you how much vitamin C is in there, how much magnesium's in there, how much of all the different nutrients, and it would print out a report and tell you. And a fascinating thing that he found as he was scanning produce in all different grocery stores is he actually saw a higher vitamin and mineral count in spinach at Walmart than at Whole Foods and Natural Grocers and Sprouts. And as he dug deeper into that, what he found was the number one factor in how much nutrient is actually in your food is the time between picking that produce and consuming it. So if it's been 2 days, you'll have a decent amount of nutrient value still. But if it's been 2 weeks, then obviously less. So time is a big factor. In Walmart, you know, they move so much produce per day. They're constantly getting in the new supply. So he, in his theory, that's why there was more nutrient value in that spinach. But my point is the way we farm, the farming techniques themselves, the way we hybridize the plants and breed to specific varieties of tomatoes and other produce for shelf life and for prettiness, the pretty factor. Dr. Davis at UT Austin specifically pointed to this as one of the main drivers of nutrient depletion is we genetically breed and hybridize and select for varieties of produce that will sustain on the shelf longer. And much of our produce is grown overseas or out of the country or many, many miles away from us, and they have to pick it a little bit early so that it'll still be pretty on the shelf. But the main point I'm getting at is our modern standard diet is devoid of nutrients. So you will be devoid of nutrients unless you eat local and vine-ripened. And, you know, like the cows, if the beef you're eating is coming from a cow that's grass-fed, well, that grass needs to be coming from a good pasture that's highly mineralized. And we need to manage and steward our land to really get the minerals into our food. So until we're there as a society, as a culture, as an ag community here locally even, until our food is more nutrient-rich, you can either be deficient or supplement. And that's what we pound home every day to our patients at our clinic is we're relying on your body's natural healing abilities. And for it to heal naturally and the mechanisms in the body to function normally, you have to have these minerals and these nutrients. And so if you can't or don't get them in your food, then you have to supplement them. So that's really, when we use the word supplement, that's what we're talking about. It's supplemental to the diet. It's supplemental to the four pillars that we preach all the time. So be deficient or supplement. So we're real big on the minerals and certain vitamins, obviously. We've talked about at length bioavailable copper. But then there's this whole other category, and we use these also, and these are supplements for symptom management. And a great example is berberine. I always talk about berberine because it's such a cool little herb, and it's been shown to lower your blood sugar. So type 2 diabetics, you can use berberine, and the blood sugar reductions will be significant. And they've studied berberine head-to-head with metformin. Metformin's the number one prescription drug for type 2 diabetes. And berberine did just as well as metformin. So that's one example of an herb that could treat a symptom called high blood sugar, a.k.a. diabetes. Our approach at Veritas would be to encourage you to go deeper than that, though, and just eliminate your diabetes. But we understand not everybody's ready or able to do that initially. So managing symptoms, there's a place for it. There's another study I always point to during my lectures, Pygium africanum. That's an herb used for prostatitis. 89% of patients with prostatitis in this study had complete resolutions of all their symptoms by taking this herb. You know, I never learned about that herb in med school, by the way. And I could go on and on. I'm not going to bore the audience, but I'm just saying there's lots of studies, evidence-based studies out there with various herbs and vitamins to treat various symptoms. And obviously, the risk of side effects is much lower when you're using the natural alternative as opposed to pharmaceutical. So there's a time and place for symptom management. D-mannose is another great one for bladder infections, urinary tract infections. We use that often. And there's a whole host. This is a whole world of doctrine, really natural doctrine you can do with herbs and vitamins and supplements. But I just wanted to lay that foundation that so as we get into supplement talk, and we've got an insider today. We've got someone from the inside, a founder and owner of a supplement company that we're going to visit with today. And I'm about to introduce him, but wanted to lay that foundation first that I like to be very clear with patients or prospective patients or the general public. I see supplements as two broad categories, supplemental nutrients that your food is lacking, and then supplements for symptoms. We use both at our clinic. Obviously, just like pharmaceuticals, our goal is to where your symptoms are gone, or very rare do you have a symptom. So you don't need a lot of symptom treatment supplements or pharmaceuticals. That's the goal. If you have anxiety, there's some great supplements for that. But our goal eventually is to get you where we get to the very root cause of the anxiety, and you don't have to take a supplement for symptoms. So, but the supplement industry is huge. It's growing. I mean, projections that I've seen are just crazy, hundreds of billions of dollars spent on supplements. So I thought it'd be good to bring in Mike Casey. He's the founder and the CEO of Formula IQ. It's a supplement company that I think is doing business a little different in a good way. You know, as you can imagine, when you're talking billions of dollars being spent annually on supplements, whenever there's that much money to be had, there can be some shady dealings going on, some cutting corners and, you know, cutthroat kind of activity going on in that industry. So you've got to be careful with who you deal with and what supplements you buy and what brand you go with and where's the source of this material and that kind of thing. So I thought it'd be interesting to hear from Mike Casey and to get kind of an insider's view of the supplement world, but also specifically his company, his vision, and what he's doing. And Formula IQ has partnered with us to produce some supplements that we offer our patients too. So Mike Casey, founder and CEO of Formula IQ, welcome to the show. Thanks for joining us.
Well, thanks for having me on, and that was a great opening and really really good overview and insight to the listeners for sure to set the stage for the supplement space. It was all very well said.
Well, thank you very much, and thank you again for joining us. I'm excited for any time a listener can kind of get more understanding and kind of some inside scoop on how this healthcare industry works. I think that's pretty cool to keep our listeners informed. So Mike, if you would, I always like to have our guests kind of share a little bit of their personal testimony or their story of where they're from, how they got to where they are now, and kind of what drives you and motivates you. So if you don't mind, just share as much as you are willing to or comfortable with sharing about your history and how you got to where you are now.
Sure. So I'm based in Atlanta, Georgia, born and raised here in Georgia, and you know, I was lucky, and I'm still young, but I always knew what I wanted to do, which led me to the study of human nutrition and food sciences initially, and further went on from there to study complementary and integrative medicine. So, you know, I really began to see as I got into the industry and was working my way through school and coming up in this space that there was something that was off. There was something that was really broken in this space that provides such a natural kind of opening for patients and really everyone out there. And, you know, I've been a part of several companies over the past 10 years with technology, different supplement companies. And, you know, to what you said earlier on the piece of, you know, it's a big space, so, you know, people cut corners? Do people, you know, really do things the ethical way and the right way in this space? You know, there's absolutely some validity to that, which is what led me to the formation of Formula IQ, or FIQ for short, in 2013. Is I realized that this massive industry, really, nobody was kind of holding the rules, you know. I mean, this is a massive space. You talked about the growth and the numbers, and in 2018, the supplement industry was worth globally $124.8 billion. It's anticipated by 2024 to be worth $278 billion.
Wow.
So, I mean, doubling in size. So you're talking about a space here that is just tremendously growing. I mean, the trajectory of the numbers of growth is just extremely high. And so when I formulated and the products in our line and we started working to put together FIQ and to evolve it to what we have today, it was really to kind of go off of something that, you know, is a passion of mine. And of course, I'm a business owner and a successful entrepreneur, or however you want to categorize it, but you know, I tell people I'm a practitioner first, And, you know, it's all about the patient or the end user. And our goal as a company has been to really, you know, our mantra or tagline is to accelerate health. And everything that we do, we want to do that. But, you know, my belief and what I've seen over the years and having that motto of being a practitioner first is that I believe that there needs to be more health professionals involved in the oversight or the use of the health supplement space, because, you know, what you were saying is so true, and what I've seen over the years myself and with the practices that we work with across the country, which I work with some amazing doctors, is that people will come in, and this was the common theme of when I started early on and working in local nutrition stores to pay my way through school, all the way to now if I'm in a practice myself or with someone else, another doctor, a patient will come in and you'll say, what are you taking? And they'll follow it up with walking in with three boxes or three different bags of supplements. I mean, it's not uncommon for someone to come walking in with, you know, 24 to 36 different bottles of supplements, and oftentimes they could have two of the same exact supplement just by different brands, and they don't really know why they're taking it. You know, if you go through it with them and say, okay, why are we taking this product right here? They say, well, you know, this health professional told me to take it. And then you say, okay, why are you taking this product over here? This, you know, this form of vitamin B or whatever it is. And they'll say, well, I read about it on Google, so I thought it would be a good idea to add. And then this and keep on going. My friend told me I should probably try this. I saw an email. And before you know it, you have patients that have turned too much of a good thing into a bad thing. So our goal with FIQ and Formula IQ has really been to be the brand and the line that works with health professionals to really give some clarity and give some oversight to this industry to help people sift through and know what's what. And I think now is more the time than ever, just because of where we are as an industry. We're in a new decade, we're in a new time. And ironically enough, just yesterday I was in a local health food store and I picked up Time Magazine. And for those who haven't seen the most recent issue of it, the cover is Alternative Medicine, the New Mainstream. And it's an entire edition by Time Magazine of this space as a whole, talking about this particular subject. So I think it's a really exciting time. I think it's just one of those things where our mission is to partner with health professionals such as yourself to really kind of clear and clean through everything to help people know what's what so that they can use supplements for what they're actually intended to be used for, you know, to supplement the lifestyle of which they're choosing to live, whatever that may be.
Right. Yeah, and I think that's a good point. I'll tell patients that too when they ask about supplementation. And I'll tell them, well, you're going to have to supplement up to your amount of stress, you know, up to your lifestyle. What's your lifestyle like? How stressed out are you? How much are you going to burn through your magnesium and your B vitamins? And, you know, how much are you going to eat fast food on the go? And so depending on your diet and your lifestyle, that will dictate to a degree how much you'll need to supplement. And in the perfect world, if we're at peace and we are eating a nutrient-dense diet, locally grown, I mean, our need for supplementation will be less and less and less. And in the perfect world, it'd be no need for it. But we're far from that perfect world. So as you started this company, it sounds like kind of the driving force behind it or motivation behind it was to do things a little differently from a quality standpoint. So can you speak to, you know, sourcing and where do these supplements come from? China? I mean, it seems like everything comes from China, but, you know, or we could even talk about cod liver oil but sourcing and quality and production and, you know, what all is out there? How do you determine and how do you keep things clean and good source and all that?
Right. Well, let's look at it. You know, I like to give people the both just, you know, I studied this and very in depth. And so I like people to understand that this is not just opinion, but this is the numbers too. And in 1994, for example, there were 600 supplement companies and they were producing about 4,000 different products. As of roughly 2017, there were 6,000 different companies which were pumping out over 75,000 different brands. So the misconception, I think, or the opportunity, as we can call it, is people see two products. And the reality of it is you could have two different products on the shelf, and, you know, whether it be cod liver oil or magnesium or something for anxiety. You know, we talk about our anxiety product all the time, our anxiety IQ product. It's our biggest moving product and has been since 2013. And, you know, I could have the exact same product with the exact same ingredient sitting next to it. And the belief system that every supplement is the same is simply not true. And that's the marketing that we've been told. But the reality of it is you could have the exact ingredient on the label sitting side by side, and those two products would have worked the same. And it's for the reason that you mentioned in your opening with food, you know, with them finding that how quickly they took the food from harvest to, you know, to give it to the people to eat. It showed to be more rich in nutrients. So, you know, it's no different than supplements, and you're exactly right. I mean, you'll shave a few pennies here and there if you start getting things from China, from India, and from mass bulk commercialized sourcing ingredients, when the reality of it is ingredients are not created equal. There is benefit to doing lower batch runs, to making sure that your products, you know, aren't sitting on the shelf for a long time, to make sure that your extract, you know, methods are being done properly, because, you know, and then even bigger than that is making sure that the plants and the nutrients that you're using, they haven't been sitting in a raw material warehouse for a very long time, and that wherever they're farmed at or they're sourced from, that they're actually, I mean, you don't want the pretty looking herbs and plants. You don't want it in a commercialized location. You want your plants to kind of be rough in the dirt and to source those or your ingredients, because those contain polyphenols, and polyphenols are much like our body with, you know, our ability to adapt to stress. Polyphenols, the phytonutrients, are the plant's abilities to adapt to a stressful environment. When those transfer forward into our body from the plants and those more pure, natural, wild sources, you get a much stronger product at the end of the day. So, you know, quality is everything in this industry and space. You know, you're right. You know, there's been instances where you've looked at CVS and Walmart, and they've had to do massive, you know, recalls because their people were doing third-party testing and validating and realizing, hey, what was on the label actually wasn't on the label, or it wasn't the potency that it said it was. And it's not due to, you know, lack of regulations in this industry. It's just, you know, when you have a space that's growing almost at a 10x, I mean, it's a lot to keep up with. So, you know, that's why really understanding what to look for is extremely important in this industry when you go to pick up supplements.
Right. Well, and that's one of the reasons we've hooked up with you, because I hear your heart in that, and I trust that you're doing the due diligence on the supply side and getting the best raw material we can get. You know, like I said at the top of the show, short of going out and catching a cod and eating the liver myself, like our ancestors did, like Weston A. Price showed that these folks are doing, and short of me growing a wide variety of these different herbs and foods in my backyard garden consistently all year long and consuming them, I need to find the best possible source that I can. So anyways, I appreciate y'all's dedication to that. I want to get into, and we're at the bottom of the hour, so this will be a good break time maybe. But when we get back, I want to talk specifically on vitamin C some. I get questions all the time on that, ascorbic acid versus whole food, and I'll talk about that some. But then the sourcing, and one thing I learned from you about the highest quantity of vitamin C being from one particular source. But a lot of these products will have multiple different sources on their ingredient label, more as kind of a window dressing is how I would say it. I think maybe you'd say that. But we'll get into that some, and some of the specific products that you like in your company, and also some of the specific products that we're going after with really lining up with Morley Robbins Root Cause Protocol, which is really lining up with Weston A. Price Ancestral Type Eating, and it's really lining up with the fact our food's just depleted, so we've got to replete ourselves with minerals in particular. So we'll get into some more details and specifics when we get back. We are talking with Mike Casey. He's the founder and CEO of FIQ, Formula IQ. Mike, what's your web, or is there a website or Facebook page, or if people wanted to learn more about you or your company?
Yeah, they can go to www.activatefiq.com.
Activatefiq.com. All right. Stick with us, everybody. This is Ben Edwards with You're the Cure Radio Show, talking with Mike Casey from Formula IQ. We'll be back in a moment.
Welcome back into You're the Cure right here on AM 580, brought to you by VeritasMedical.com. Check out that website, VeritasMedical.com. You can catch up on past archived programs with Dr. Ben Edwards, MD, right here on You're the Cure. Okay, got a couple of texts here. One says, can your phone guests say a good brand name for sodium ascorbate powder, neem leaf, glutamine powder, and homocysteine redux? I don't know.
Those are pretty specific.
Yeah. That's interesting.
I don't know. We'll let Mike answer. Read the second one, too.
Second text
he can
is...
decide what he wants to answer and what he can't answer.
Did you hear that, Mike? Did you hear that, what I read?
I did, yeah.
Okay. Next text was, my husband has terrible arthritis. He has rheumatic arthritis and has been diagnosed when he had surgery on his leg and the doctor saw it. He has been tried to taking the turmeric curcumin, and it does nothing for him. I think it's because... it's not a good quality brand. It is a Walmart product, and I usually don't know where to go get something that will help him with his pain. I continually work with him, trying to get him to eat properly to help, but that's not working out so well. That's a long text.
Yeah, I hear that all the time. Wives trying to get their husband to eat better or do something better. Mike, any thoughts on those two questions?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's a great segue into to both of those, because there's so much confusion as to what's a good quality product, and you know, and the one about the turmeric root, it's a great example of, you know, I'm taking the Walmart brand, and not to say there's anything wrong with the Walmart brand, but you know, the old saying of what you pay for is what you get is, you know, really tied to this, but you know, we were just speaking about this, but I think understanding the retail landscape of who makes the products that you see in the retail stores is a really important topic. And what we pride ourselves with is, you know, we consider ourselves professional grade supplements, meaning that we work with health professionals, and, you know, I am a health professional myself, and, you know, I didn't get into this just for the business. This is my passion. This is my why. And of course, the business inside of it is a byproduct of that. But, you know, looking for certain things when you go to the supplement store, when you go to get a product. And I think understanding, like looking at big brands like Garden of Life, for example, or Wobenzymer, or Douglas Laboratories. I mean, those brands were owned by Nestle, you know, the chocolate company.
And you said Pure Encapsulations, I think, too, at the break. I did not realize that.
Yeah, Pure Encapsulations. Their tree is Garden of Life, Douglas Laboratories, Pure Encapsulations, and Wobenzym. You know, those are all owned by Nestle. They actually just, I believe a week ago, just purchased another personalized vitamin company. So, just, you know, same the chocolate company, you know. So Nestle has thrown their hat into the ring of things. And we look at companies like Renew Life, Rainbow Light. They're owned by Clorox, you know, the cleaning company. You know, New Chapter is owned by Procter & Gamble. We look at Pfizer, and Pfizer owns Centrum, Emergency, Mega Food, Nature Made, and Innate. I mean, we can just keep going down the line here of this. And there's nothing to say that there's anything wrong with that. It's just understanding who makes your product and you know, and how pure it is and what goes into it. the sourcing of those things.
If I could interject, I think you're being polite, and I appreciate that about you and respect you for that, but I'm going to go ahead and say it. I think we can all assume and imagine if a big, big multinational company is purchasing a supplement company, they're doing it because it looks like there's a good return of investment. There's a good profit potential. There's the shareholders of these huge corporations want to see profit. I mean, who doesn't? Who doesn't have money in the stock market, and you want your companies to be profitable and your shares are worth more? So I totally get that. But when you're dealing with these humongous companies, I can almost guarantee you that's where the corners are start to get cut. And you mentioned in the break, one of these companies switched from doing human studies to doing animal studies. So when you're going to study a product, yeah, you could study it in a rat and a pig, and there's some value there. But it'd be nice if you could then study it in a human and see if that same value translates to the human study. But a human study is going to cost more, and there's more regulation involved in it, et cetera, et cetera. But so costs are going to start to be cut somewhere, and that's one example when you cut out human studies and just do animal studies only. So you start whittling away little by little by little to get that profit margin to widen so that your stockholders are more likely to be happy. So, I think that's a great point to make when you get a big company buying up a more of a mom-and-pop type company. So go ahead. I didn't mean to cut you off there.
Oh, no, you're 100% right. You know, I obviously want to be respectful to the people that are making it, but you know, and the same passion that Jordan Rubin had when he ran Garden of Life, I can't imagine that the same passion and motivation is there with Nestle running the show now. Like you said, I mean, it's a business, and you know, whereas Jordan Rubin, the founder of Garden of Life, you know, overcame his own personal study living out of his van so to find health. And you know, I think when we're talking about patients and people getting better, you know, it translates through to the end product. And I say that because I know that's what happens with myself and what we do. And that's why we do it.
Right.
To answer the question originally from the text messages, I say all that to loop that back around as quality is everything. I mean, if you're looking for a good quality product that you want to move the needle, I mean, you need to get it from a health professional, you know, not from Walmart. And, you know, I say that again very politely. It's just you get what you pay for and you get quality. And, you know, there are some things that you can look for on the bottle stamp-wise to make sure that, you know, is it being made in an FDA-registered facility, you know? Is it NSF-backed? Is it adhering to good manufacturing practices? You know, there are standards and regulations to make sure that these things are what they say they are.
Right. Well, let's maybe talk about that a little bit from an FDA standpoint. You know, how much regulation is there, and is it all beneficial regulation? I know there's some talk more in the homeopathic realm of maybe some limiting of the availability of certain products. I don't know the accuracy of that. But just in general, what is the regulatory environment landscape look like in this business?
Yeah, I talk about it, and this is probably a pet peeve of mine, but, you know, I talk about it as like the Super Bowl. You know, if you want to play in the NFL and you want to play on the field in the Super Bowl, then you've got to play by the rules of the game. And, you know, the one thing that is very disappointing is that there's a lot of companies out there who don't play by the rules of the game. And, you know, is the FDA has some things they can improve upon? Absolutely. But, you know, let's look at that number of, you know, expected to be a $278 billion industry by 2024. That's a lot for the FDA to keep up with. You know, so essentially FDA registered does not mean FDA cleared or approved. And so that's the first thing that I like to clear up for people. But your product should be made in an FDA registered facility, which basically says we are a lab. We manufacture products. We are here and the FDA knows about us, which means at any given time, which they will, the FDA can walk in, audit, and go through all of your processes to make sure that you're doing things ethically and according to the book and according to the guidelines and regulations, which can all be found at FDA.gov. Now, are there companies out there that don't register as a facility? Absolutely. And so does the FDA know to go look at those facilities? No. That's where some of the issue lies. But, you know, it's such a fast-growing industry that it's a lot for the FDA to keep up with. I mean, you may have one FDA, you know, rep or agent assigned to multiple states, and then they have to review every single complaint that comes in from their website and then look into it. And then there's so many different facets of it, you know. And so it is a good thing that it's there, but, you know, the industry is growing so fast that I think consumers need to make sure they're asking the right questions and looking for the right stamps on the bottles to make sure that they actually know what they're putting in their body.
Right. Yeah, that's all great points. So is that, I forget which specific supplements that texture, sodium ascorbate, and I don't know that, do you have specific answers on that, Mike, which it's fine if you don't. I know those are real.
Yeah, I mean, there's companies out there retail-wise, like Jaro Formulas, you know, they're a pharmaceutical-grade company. They make pretty much a full line of things, everything from glutamine to, you know, sodium ascorbate and all of those different things. So, you know, you can be rest assured if you go to somewhere and you purchase something by a Jaro Formulas, for example, on a retail scale, that they're going to be a good brand. It's not to say that everything is bad out there. It's just, you know, you want to make sure when you flip the bottle over that there's a stamp on it that says this product was made in an FDA-registered facility, right, that it was made with CGMP, you know, good manufacturing practices, so that facility has that stamp. And ideally, that they're NSF registered too, which is a third-party validation of the standards for this industry. Like, if you can find those three stamps on the label, then you know that this is a good made product.
Yeah, great. Thank you. And I would also endorse your thoughts and comments on the health professional being involved. Unfortunately, regular physicians, MDs in particular, I can just speak from my experience, we don't have the training and the knowledge to really speak educatedly about supplements, vitamins, herbs, that kind of thing. It's just not in the curriculum. Now, an MD could go on his own and do some extra studying outside of medical school, like I've done, to learn more of that. But you might consider adding a chiropractor to your healthcare team if you don't have one already, or a naturopathic doctor, which the state of Texas doesn't recognize their license, but there are some in the state who are just practicing nurse, kind of nutritional consultants. But you can find, you know, a good quality health food store, vitamin supplement store. A lot of those owners have great backgrounds in education too. So just finding that healthcare professional who has some education and some knowledge can really bring some guidance, you know, with specific supplements for specific symptoms. So, Mike, I'd like to spend a little bit of time here towards the end of our conversation about specifically some of the products we were having you formulate for us. And one thing, the vitamin C I mentioned before the break, and I'd like to highlight because we had a question this weekend on our Facebook page, ascorbic acid versus whole food C. We use both. We have both in our clinic. People hear me all the time, and will definitely hear Morley Robbins all the time saying don't ever take ascorbic acid because of its impact on ceruloplasm, the ferrooxidase function, that enzyme in the body that we call it the Swiss Army knife. It has 24, probably more than that, different functions in the body. It's so, so important. It's the master antioxidant. It's the enzyme that can deal with this toxic iron. It's just an amazing enzyme. And straight ascorbic acid does not support that enzyme's function, but a whole food vitamin C will support that enzyme's function. However, that being said, ascorbic acid clinically, it does have a track record for in the acute setting when someone's acutely ill, especially with a viral illness. Dr. Renner is the one I quoted, I think, last week when we were talking about coronavirus. But his work in the 1940s, 1950s, using high doses of ascorbic acid intramuscularly and intravenously. Dr. Suzanne Humphreys, she has a protocol for pertussis or whooping cough using ascorbic acid powder for these babies, and I've seen that personally in my clinic. absolutely eliminate that toxin. It's the toxin in the pertussis germ, the toxin that it produces that causes that bad cough. And that ascorbic acid does knock it out. I mean, I've just seen it. So in an acute setting, the antioxidant potential of just that one nutrient, I can't deny that. However, the long-term daily supplementation with ascorbic acid, I don't recommend because there are unintended consequences. Just like with the pharmaceuticals, if you're just going to take metformin for your blood sugar, there's the unintended consequence of not dealing with the root cause is you're still going to be at risk for heart attack and cancer and Alzheimer's and stroke and all these things because the underlying insulin resistance is still there. And same thing, if you're just going to use ascorbic acid daily as your supplement, you're over time going to really start to compromise the ceruloplasm, and that's going to have a lot of downstream effects. So the whole food molecule we've talked about a lot has copper at the center of it, and that's why one of the reasons why we really prefer that. And so there's different sources of the whole food vitamin C, and some that we've sold in the past and even currently sell, we'll have a blend of different foods with vitamin C. But Mike, you were teaching me early on about the best food source of vitamin C, but can you speak to that a little bit? You know, what I'm getting at is the
sure.
The window dressing, the make it look, you know, beef it up on the label. Wow, if there's 10 different ingredients that have vitamin C, that's got to be better than the one. So speak a little bit specifically to that whole food C, but then also just generically about kind of the marketing window dressing.
Sure. Yeah, that's a great point to bring up, especially with vitamin C. So, you know, I think that the simple answer is, you know, people see ascorbic acid and there's two different forms of ascorbic acid, or there's two different ways to get ascorbic acid. Are you getting the ascorbic acid from the food sources such as the citrus fruits, you know, or certain vegetables? So is it a food-based ascorbic acid? Because the problems and where the research comes in from the potentially long-term harmful effects of ascorbic acid is when you start using basically the synthetic ascorbic acid, which is, you know, comes from GMO corn-based products. They come from starches. So, you know, there's a major difference between are people taking ascorbic acid from a synthetic source or are they taking it from a food source? And sure, sometimes people will take and they'll use the window dressing, as you call it, and they'll say vitamin C, you know, ascorbic acid. And, you know, this is where probably the regulations can fail us a little bit is, you know, wouldn't it be great if we could have on the label, you know, where it says, okay, this ascorbic acid came from corn-based products synthetically, or it came from citrus fruits, you know, such as, you know, acerola cherry and pineapples, for example. Because a lot of companies do that. If you go into a health food store and you're like, wow, you know, I know Dr. Ben makes a great vitamin C product and his product costs X, but I just went down to Walmart or CVS and I found a bottle of vitamin C that was $9.99. Well, it, you know, in most cases, that's because you're getting synthetic vitamin C and they may have thrown 200 milligrams of, you know, different fruits in there. It's small amounts that mean nothing to give it the window dressing to the appearance that it has natural supportive things for vitamin C and ascorbic acid. So the key is getting a good quality whole food-based vitamin C. Again, it goes back to the basis of, like you said at the start of the podcast, of the show here, is the more we can get from food, the better. And that includes our supplements. So ascorbic acid is amazing things. Vitamin C is amazing things, but getting it from food sources is really the question. And you know what? Ask your supplement company that. If you're unsure, you know, ask your company. And if they can't answer that or they refuse to answer that, that gives you the answer to your question, that they're not using a food base. They're not using the ethical pure source that they should be.
Right. Well, and speaking of pure sources, I think the fish oil industry, of course, we really like the cod liver oil because of the retinol content is what we're going after. But I can imagine there's lots of potential places along the production of fish oils where quality could really be impacted. But I think we got another text before we get into the marine oils.
Yeah, so Robin wanted to know, what do your products, how do your products compare to Terry's naturally, and where do you find out who owns companies? That's a good question. How do you find out?
Yeah, I don't know, Mike.
Yeah, I mean, well, the reality is most of it's public record. So, you know, if you go out there, if you go online, I mean, you can literally, I usually hate on people for saying, you know, Dr. Google or Google, but everything's public record. So, you know, and I'm happy to send over the chart and a breakdown, but you can see who, especially publicly traded companies, you can see who owns them in the chain of things. But, you know, typically if it says manufactured by or for or something else on there, then it's being made by something else. I mean, the reality of it is there are only so many manufacturers within the country. I mean, so knowing where it comes from, I mean, is really key. But the bigger question, I think, is that people really need to be looking at is transparency. I mean, you know, you ask the company who makes the product if they're willing to provide you a COA, a certificate of analysis, which validates and verifies that what's in the product is actually in there. And if a company's not willing to do it, that's your first red flag right there.
Right. Yep. And I don't want to put you on the spot, so you can pass on this if you want, but the Terry Naturally's question, what does he think about it, or how does it hit? Oh, how do FIQ products compare to Terry Naturally?
Yeah.
I don't know specifically what she's getting out there, but.
Another text was about how about high dose for vitamin C or for vitamin C. What about high dose for vitamin C, I guess?
I'm not sure what that question is. I know high dose vitamin C, typically we think of IV, intravenous vitamin C, to really get high doses.
Another one says, wondering what Dr. Ben is going to recommend for your cough, Wade.
I don't think we're going to have time for that, Wade. That might be
Sorry
a 30
that.
Minute answer.
You're going.
Some clarithromycin. Let's throw some antibiotic at you. On vitamin C, I'll just tell you, as far as how high a dose you can do, maybe that's the question, is to bowel tolerance. That's what I'll tell people, like when they're sick, when they have the flu, just get on your vitamin C to bowel tolerance. Once you saturate your colon with too much C, you'll just start having loose stool. So then back off a little bit.
And I love what you said. Sorry, I have to add to that just to give you, you said that the other day when we were having an off-record conversation, and that goes for any ingredient. You said it about magnesium, and it's so true for vitamin C as well. How do you know if you've got a good natural food base, ascorbic acid? Your bowel tolerance will tell you. If you take any supplement and you have an adverse irritated bowel reaction, you know you should check your source. I think that is a very easy rule for many to implement.
Yeah, that's a great point. And I think we were talking about Calm magnesium citrate.
Citrate versus glycinate.
Right.
Example.
Yeah. And the glycinate. We'll just speak to that real quick. Glycinate. Explain that with the magnesium as far as absorbability and the reason you and we, Veritas branded magnesium, is the glycinate.
Well, magnesium glycinate, it's bonded with the amino acid glycine, which plays a huge role in the body. But it's a precursor to glutathione, which reduces oxidative stress in the body. But more importantly, glycine coats the stomach and manages the pH levels of the stomach. And, you know, I know we use with you magnesium bisglycinate, so it actually has an extra molecule of the glycine attached to it. So the absorption of it is you know, just multiple fold over any other form of magnesium, which helps with sleep and stress and everything else, but it comes down to the absorption, uptake, and utilization of it. And it's because of the glycine that's attached to it that the absorption is so much higher than, you know, magnesium taurate or 3-MA or, you know, citrate, which can irritate the bowel if taken too much of.
Right. Well, we just have probably 3 minutes left or so, but I do want to get on the fish oil, cod liver oil. I mean, it seems to me from the somewhat of a medium dive, not a deep dive. You do the deep dives, but when it comes to these, anything coming out of the ocean, you're going to have to talk about pollution and toxins and mercury and all that kind of stuff. So there's a balance between let's just pull something out of the ocean and extract the oil immediately and put into the capsule versus do we clean it up a little bit? So there's that balance of a pure natural versus no, let's clean up but still keep the natural components in it. Just try to clean it up as long as the cleanup process doesn't damage the naturally occurring things in it, molecules in it. And then the third step is do we want to artificially manipulate these ingredients to increase the vitamin A and vitamin D content or the omega content, absorbability. And, you know, there's a lot you can start to kind of micromanage manipulate there. So can you speak a little bit to kind of a more natural, pure source of these marine oils, where the process can go awry and maybe get some sort of degradation of the product? And cleaning it versus keeping it totally naturally pure, just kind of that whole realm of fish oils. Can you speak to?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, most let's just talk about cod liver oil for, you know, an example. Most of it is going to be, you know, caught and harvested from, you know, the Norway or Iceland regions. Typically, Atlantic cod will have a little bit higher amounts of A and D, but, you know, one thing that you don't want to do, like most oils, like you don't want to winterize the oil to preserve, you know, the fats and everything that's in there. You do want it to be, you know, wild caught, meaning that it's caught wild. It's not in a farm environment. It's not something that was, you know, kind of conducted to where you set everything up and controlled the environment. And then from that point, you do want to do it in smaller batches and make sure that it's done right and seasonally, because the goal is to get as much of vitamin A and vitamin D naturally from it as possible. And the reality of it is most cod liver oils are laced, I use that word lightly, but it's the reality of it, they call it fortified, with vitamin A and D. And you want to make sure that when you look at your label, because you are allowed to do this with the FDA regulations, that if the vitamin A and the vitamin D on the label of the cod says that it comes from cod liver oil. If not, it is most likely being added into it because of the cleaning and filtration processes that are taking place with the oil. So you're exactly right. I mean, there's definitely a way to make sure that everything is cleaned properly and preserved and gotten to you, but you want it to be in its most natural environmental state so that it's the richest in nutrients possible. You know, it all comes full circle back to just like the food we eat. We want it to be the same with the fish and the oils that we take in as well.
Right. Yep. Well, we are about out of time, I think, Mike. We really appreciate all your great information you shared with us. Hopefully this will give people a better understanding of how to look for the quality supplements. Really encourage them to get with a healthcare professional to guide them through that process too, a knowledgeable healthcare professional. And also just the information on kind of the inside scoop on how, I mean, I had no idea. New chapter in Garden of Life, for those that aren't really paying attention, in the natural medicine world, those are kind of the go-to big brands that were supposedly the more natural and kind of whole food based and quality and that kind of thing. But to know those have been gobbled up by the big giants, that automatically puts them into a different category in my book. So thanks for all the insights, Mike, on not just that, but on everything. And I really appreciate your dedication to quality and excellence and doing things above the fold, above the fray, keeping the quality there. I know maybe it doesn't drive the profit margin as much as you could, but we sure appreciate your passion for people's health, and you being a health practitioner yourself, knowing that that's your real motivation is really great. So thank you for that. Thank you for your work with Veritas and for helping us. I mean, our motivation is to drive down healthcare costs, and we know the body will be well and people will stay out of a doctor's office when they're healthy. And so part of driving down healthcare costs is getting your diet right, getting your stress down, moving, hydrating, all those things, but then supplementing where you're deficient, but it needs to be high-quality supplements. And then the actual cost of the supplement, if we can help bring that cost down, and that's one of our motivations for even providing, you know, private label Veritas-branded formulas. And Mike, really appreciate your help and helping us meet our goal of saving people money. So thanks for all you're doing.
Well, thanks for having me on. And, you know, I would encourage everybody to like you said, to work with their health professional, to add someone who's skilled in functional medicine, you know, to their portfolio of the health professionals they see. I mean, you know, the research is there that this is the answer of healthcare. You know, everyone's asking, you know, how do we fix healthcare? And, I mean, remember, plants were the original medicines. I mean, they really were. Yeah. And, you know, I always say all that is old becomes new again, and I think we're coming full circle. So, you know, it's just about opening up those lines of communication with your health professionals, because this is a good thing, but too much of a good thing can become a bad thing. So I think we're just, everyone's finally there. And so happy to be a part of working with you on what you're doing, because it aligns with my mission and why as well.
All right. Well, great. Thanks, Mike. We'll have to have you back someday. Really appreciate all the great insights. That's Mike Casey, founder and CEO of Formula IQ. And this is You're the Cure, Dr. Ben Edwards. The archive show will be on veritasmedical.com on our archive page. And we'll be back next week with actually another healthcare professional who's formulated a specific product with Mike's help. So we'll be excited to explore that next week. So y'all join us same time, same place.
Thanks again. VeritasMedical.com.